Howdy, y'all, and welcome to episode 45 of Dynasty's Child, the fantasy baseball podcast for the Dynasty Guru. I'm your host, Ian Hudson, and I'm an editor here at the Dynasty Guru. With me is Keaton DeRocher and Patrick Magnus. Keaton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ian.
Excellent. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing so great, and I'm so happy to record this podcast for the first time. I'm
the
really
first
excited
time.
For the first time of recording this podcast.
This will be all new information that we definitely haven't lost one already, and so this is certainly not a redo, if
no
that's
way.
What you're wondering.
It's not like we recorded this episode and then all of the tracks were
in
garbage.
In its entirety, and then the tracks were garbage and we couldn't use it.
No.
So all the reactions are going to be genuine, everything will be heard for the first time, and it's going to be great.
Very excited. That's exactly how I feel. Feel great.
Likewise. Tonight on the show, we'll be discussing the Major League, including the Manny Machado trade, checking in on Roberto Osuna, Robinson Cano suspensions and returns. We talked about some live-action reactions, including second-half sell-high candidates. We'll be going into the Minor League, talking about some call-ups and demotions and injuries, along with our top prospect. And we'll be delving into the Fantasy League. In or out, we're continuing that series with second baseman. So let's jump right in. And no listener questions this week, but if you have questions for us, you can submit them via the Facebook group, the Fantasy Baseball subreddit, on Twitter at Dynasty's Child, or via email, dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. So let's jump into the Major League. The Manny Machado sweepstakes are over. The Dodgers acquired Manny from the Orioles in exchange for Yusnel Diaz, Dean Kramer, Ryland Bannon, Zach Pop, and Breivik Valera. So the only two prospects ranked on Jesse Roach's most recent list were Yusnel Diaz at 79 and Ryan Bannon at 191. The guys are not ranked. Guys, what are your thoughts on this return for Machado? Patrick, let's start with you.
So I'm sort of mixed on it now that you've seen some of the other stuff happening. There was a reliever that was just moved too, I think, right? Who went where? Doesn't matter.
Brad Hand
yes.
went to
so
San Diego for Francisco Mejia.
Thank you, Cleveland. Thank you. Sorry, just my brain quit on me for a second there. But yeah, so Brad Hand fetched Mejia, right? And do we think that Diaz is a better prospect than Mejia? I'm asking you guys.
Going into the season, I didn't think so. I thought Mejia was a much higher prospect. But, I mean, we're talking about it from a fantasy perspective. So that catcher eligibility is a bigger deal.
Right.
I don't know where Mejia would rank if he were, you know, first base, DH only, or even, you know, outfield. But it's tough to say, but that's a good question.
What about you, Keats?
His profile, Mejia's, that is, of getting a bunch of hits, not a lot of power, doesn't really play anywhere outside of catcher.
Yeah.
So if he's there, for sure, yeah, he's a much better fantasy prospect than Diaz, which I believe San Diego's going to let him have at it.
Oh, really?
Plate.
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny. I really thought they were loyal to Hedges, but I guess Hedges makes a pretty good backup catcher, right?
Maybe they're just trying to hedge their bets.
Hey.
Ew.
Wow. All right. Anyways, let me just put a bow on this. I think it was a fine return. Yusnel Diaz is a good centerpiece, and I really like the addition there of Ryland Bannon. He's somebody that's been on my radar, pop-up prospect who has been hitting with some power, and I'm interested in him. And I think Dean Kremer, he's got an excellent strikeout rate, and he may have been leading his league in strikeouts the last time we recorded this podcast. So, and Zach Pop, just a reliever. So, I mean.
Yeah, thanks to Adam for giving us some of these pre-pro notes. Apparently, Kramer has a per Fangraphs has a four pitch mix led by a mid 90s fastball that can touch 97, solid average overhand curve, and slider and change are both fringy. But still, four pitch mix is always something I'm interested in, regardless of the development of the third and fourth pitches. If you've got four defined pitches, that's interesting. So that could be a name.
Yeah, I mean, because you only need three to be a starter, right? So
yeah, sometimes not even that, but
yeah.
Okay, interesting. And my gut still said it was a little bit light, but you never know with prospects, so we'll see how that develops. And as we alluded to earlier, Brad Hand to San Diego, or Brad Hand to Cleveland, Francisco Mejia to San Diego. Keaton, you said that Mejia is probably going to play every day. Hand's slotted in as the closer now, or is he eighth inning guy? What's his deal? I haven't looked.
Pretty sure Allen's still the closer, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, I mean, but then again, Cleveland's pretty progressive with their usage and stuff. So, is it unreasonable to think Brad Hand would get 10 saves by the end of the year?
Yes.
Five.
Yes.
Wow, you think fewer than five saves?
Okay. Yes. We're over halfway done, so.
Yeah, I know.
10
I'm
is definitely out of the question. Five is a reach if he'd be splitting with Allen. I don't see it.
Well, I mean, didn't Miller get a handful of saves over the course of last season too, while, you know, being the primary setup man? So this is more of a commentary on Cleveland's usage of their bullpen rather than, you know, Hand's ability or any job stability questions.
Well, the thing with Allen is, I mean, I haven't taken a look at Allen's numbers this year. I don't own him anywhere, but he's always been sort of I feel like he's always kind of walking a tightrope with that job. The long ball has been an issue for him at times. But yeah, I think five is a dream. They are progressive with their use of the bullpen, but they do seem to still rely on Allen as their ninth inning guy.
Okay. I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised if he reached five, but I can see the argument. So it looks like Roberto Osuna and Robinson Cano should be back soon, right? Jumping to suspensions, looks like Roberto Osuna and Robinson Cano should be heading back to playing soon. Are you guys kicking the tires on either of these guys? And if so, what circumstances? Like, let's say you're contending this year. You going to try and go and get Cano help your offense?
No, absolutely cannot. Because Jerry DePoto came out and said that Cano is not going to be their everyday second baseman when he comes back, because he will not be playoff eligible. And so they're going to play D. Gordon at second base, and that leaves Cano without an everyday job, most likely. And despite the fact that he's a very talented baseball player, if he's not going to get the at-bats, there's no reason to invest in an old second baseman, even with Cano at this point.
You think that his bat would not force its way into regular playing time?
I just don't know where he's going to play. Because DH is Nelson Cruz,
yes,
I don't think
he's not sitting.
Right. I don't think they're going to play him at first base. That's Healy's gig. No, I don't think his bat gets him into the lineup. We'll see. It depends how close, you know, what kind of race they're in and what they need. But
I mean, Healy as much as the next guy, but I don't know if is he really holding off Robinson Cano if the Mariners are really in the hunt? And they need some potent bats. I don't know. I could see it, but I would imagine he's getting some playing time. Keaton, what do you think?
I agree with a lot of what Patrick said. I'm not really gonna go out trying to get one of these guys. I feel like there's potential that Cano could kind of help you, but I'm not really, like, if you're lacking for someone at second base, he's a good guy to, like, pick up if someone had dropped. But I'm not I wouldn't really consider giving up something to get him. And then with Osuna, Toronto kind of sucks. So he's another guy that I wouldn't go out trying to spend. Yeah, to like get a shitty team's closer after he's missed all this time. So I'm not real jazzed about either one, but if I had to pick one of them to go after, I guess it'd be Cano.
Oh, I'd say it would be Osuna. Even shitty teams get saves, you know, occasionally. So I think the opportunity cost for him might be lower. But then again, he's probably a better dynasty asset, so probably balances out in terms of difficulty to acquire.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, is Ozuna probably makes the better dynasty asset at this point just because of his youth and his talent, which I want to preface with has nothing to do with ethically if you want him on your team or not.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, he's a garbage human, so it's, right. You know, I certainly get not keeping him on your roster for that reason.
Right.
But, yeah.
All right.
Okay, one, well, then that makes
would
it.
You rather? I have one for all of you. Robinson Cano, Ryan Healy.
For the next 2 years, Cano.
The answer is Ryan Healy. You're incorrect.
No, that's not really how this game works. Okay.
For 2 years, I would probably take Cano.
Thank you.
You're also incorrect.
God, that bothers me so much.
Just being wrong. Let's stop being wrong, and then you won't have anything to be worried about.
Like, you know, funny games, that really fucking bothers me. I hate that. I hate the trend among fantasy sports. Like, you're just objectively wrong.
You'd love talking to DJ, then.
Yeah.
No, I already hate talking to DJ. I already hate talking to DJ. I'm already aware of that. So, okay. Let's jump into live action reactions. Second half, sell high candidates. Patrick, who is a guy that you think is going to regress in the second half and you should sell off while you still can?
Yeah. So back when we never recorded this podcast before, I suggested John Lester, or I am suggesting John Lester, because he is a time bomb that is about to explode. Prior to this recording, when we had originally recorded this podcast, his ERA sat at 2.58, and then he went out and gave up 8 earned runs in 3 innings pitched, to St. Louis. So I don't know. Your selling opportunity on him is probably, it's the window is closing fast if it hasn't already closed. So last week before this outing, he had a 2.58 ERA and then a FIP of 4.34. All of his other stats, XFIP, Sierra, DRA, and expected WOBA are all indicating that he is going in the wrong direction and that he is going to have, he cannot keep up a sub 3 ERA. In fact, that his ERA is more likely to be in the mid 4 range. And that's bad news for your fantasy team. You don't want him on your team for the second half. He's going to kill your ratios. His swinging strike rate is way down to its lowest level since 2013. And he did actually have a decent season in 2013, but he had a significantly better home run to fly ball rate. He was generating more ground balls, and he's not doing that this year. He's got a career low in ground balls. Given up more barrels than league average, higher exit velocity. And his the average exit velocity on all of his pitches has been rising sharply since 2016. So I can't find anything nice to say about him for the second half. And in Dynasty, I'm out. Get him off my team. I'll take a pick for him. First round pick, second round pick, whatever I can get, really. I'm out.
Find the dude in your league who still values pitcher wins as a stat and sell him while you can.
Yeah, I hope you play in a league like that.
I mean, every once in a while you find guys like that who say asinine things like that or thinks RBIs are a worthwhile stat. Those guys are fun to play against because they're fun to make trades with. Keaton, who is your guy?
So along the same lines of picking a pitcher, I also picked a pitcher. So following Patrick's lead, I went with Sean Manaea prior to his last outing, which was yesterday. So excluding yesterday's start, it was a 3.42 ERA, a 0.99 WHIP, a 1.75 walks per nine, which all look really good, but he had a 4.47 FIP, 4.27 XFIP, 43% ground ball rate, which is a little low, 6.04 K per nine, which is also pretty low. So he also has this decreased velocity, which, yes, his command is really, really good, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of on purpose, but it's also easier to hit slower pitches. So if his command falters at all, then that's not great. So he looks like a huge regression guy to me just based on everything else that's kind of out there with his tertiary stats. So he's a guy that I would try and ride his no-no and his age, cash him in now. And he's a guy that, because he still has age on his side, that you could probably get a pretty decent return in him, selling him before the wheels kind of fall off and things may go wrong. So he's a guy that if I owned, I would look to sell and should be able to get at least something decent for him just because of his age upside. So
yeah,
go for it.
That makes me really sad because I was both you and I were Manaea fans coming into the year. And, yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah. But I totally agree with you. I sold him in TDGX too, traded him and the cowboy, Chris Paddock, for Muncy, and I have no regrets. Even if,
that's a good trade.
Yeah. Some people trade. Think it was I didn't get enough of a return, but you know, I like Max Muncy.
You know what? At the end of the day, it's all about personal evaluations of players, and that's how you have to run your team. Speaking of personal evaluations of players, my sell high second half candidate is Mookie Betts. Now, you guys missed out on quite a lively back and forth last recording because I sprung this on my two Sox fans here, but they've had a chance to marinate in it now, so it's less... outraged. Well,
I'm
outraged by volume. I'm sure ideologically outraged. Sure, I'm sure they are. But, and this is more of a general philosophy. It's partly me shitting on Mookie Betts, but it's mostly a philosophy of improving your team. Now, Mookie Betts right now, it has a 195 WRC plus. It was at 202 last week, so it's already on the decline. BABIP of 353, which is higher than his career average of around 310. I think that Mookie Betts is good. All right. I don't think he's the second best player in fantasy good. And it's clear that there are plenty of people who do think he's the second best player in fantasy good. And with those people, you should trade bets to him and get a return for someone that's for filling out other spots in your roster, like an ace and a top 20 bat or something like that. I think it's a good opportunity to improve your team in other ways while maintaining a reasonable facsimile of Boogie Betts' production while improving your team in other areas. So that's my guy.
So all you're right. A quantity over quality kind of guy.
Generally speaking, I find myself having a team. I know I can improve in a couple of places in my team on my teams, and so if I can move a high quality bat like that, then generally I will. Same with Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and guys like that. I should say that this is usually limited to outfield. For some reason, I have a bias against outfielders. I would trade Betts for Correa straight up. An infield superstar is always going to be more valuable to me than an outfield superstar. But again, that's personal preference. So there you go.
I can see the Correa argument. I've had that question on Reddit a couple times when I've just done AMAs there. I can see the logic behind, because outfielders are really the easiest asset to acquire, I think. You can always load your farm system with outfield prospects, and you'll hit on one of them. So I can get behind that logic. However, I still think you're completely insane, and I am going to take this bet. We're going to make a bet, and I am betting that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I am betting that Mookie Betts will finish second this season as the second best fantasy baseball player.
Keaton, are you going to get in on this too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
My suggestion.
And this is based on, real quick, is this based on TDGX2 scoring or what? How do you guys want to measure this?
Yeah, TDGX2.
Okay. TDGX2 scoring. Second best fantasy player. Okay, and I'll, you know what, even if he finishes first, I'll give that to you, even though technically it wouldn't be the same in the spirit of the bet. So what's the stakes, Patrick?
Yeah,
you sounded so like you had an idea.
I do, for you and I at least. If I win, I want a selfie with a Mookie Betts jersey that I will purchase for you.
Wow.
And if you win, you can purchase me and David Robertson jersey.
Hey, it's Daniel Robinson is who I think you're thinking of, not David Robertson.
Yep. No, Patrick is going to be wearing a David Robertson.
Yeah, I do not care about David Robertson. I mean, do you really want to buy me a jersey that I'm going to just give away as soon as I take this picture? Why not have me like go to a sporting goods store and then I just try it on and take a selfie that way so you don't have to spend the money on it?
All right.
I don't want to burn you money, but yeah, I could do that. And I think with you, I don't know. It's going to have to be something similar along those lines of you embarrassing yourself via the Rays. So I'll have to come up with something similar for that.
All right. Well, we can put this on pause.
Yeah, we'll hammer these stakes out more. But something having to do with me owning up to Mookie Betts is, I'm sure, in the cards. Keaton, what are you thinking? Do you have any? We'll table it, obviously. But if you have any,
I have no
strokes
idea.
Of genius. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
I keep coming back to like Red Sox and Rays onesies.
Yeah. They had an adult Rays onesie. Oh,
I think that is the way to go, actually.
Adult
I'm 100, Rays I'm 100% onesie. On board with that.
But you have to, it's not just like sleeping in the onesie. You have to like wear it out for an entire Saturday.
Oh, how about this?
I'd have to wait till it's winter.
Ian has to go to a game with the baby. In a Rays, or in a Red Sox.
Oh, my movie. Child. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about an adult onesie that we would have to wear. Like, I would have to send you an adult man-sized onesie, and you would have to wear it out and about.
That was the logical conclusion you came to? We both have brand new daughters. We're about to both have brand new daughters. And you went to adult onesie?
Yes, I did. I think it's partly because
you are clearly not
the
a
Rays...
dad yet.
The Rays had a DJ Kitty onesie giveaway a couple of months ago, so that's what I first thought of.
Oh,
okay, so that's good.
Ian, oh, by the way, Keaton, I'm not wrong, right? Can we confirm that you are talking about a baby's onesie?
No, I was talking about adult.
Thank you.
He was not.
Because Keaton doesn't have any children, so why would he think onesies?
Whoa.
Oh, that he knows of. Sorry, that we know of. That we know of. Sorry.
A little one would have something to say about that.
Okay, human children.
Thank you. Hashtag cat dad.
Hashtag cat dad.
Hashtag cat dad.
Man, you guys really love Mookie Betts.
Well,
and our cats.
I did
like
actually
against
do
the
some
field.
Analysis.
Against the field is so crazy.
Well, like, right, I take offense right now, to that "you guys" terms, because it's really like the fantasy industry as a whole really likes Mookie Betts as the second best fantasy player. It's your take that's weird.
He's number 16 right now. He's number 16 on Fantraft scoring.
Who was number 2 on Jesse Roach's midseason top 500?
I don't know. Was it Mookie Betts?
It's Mookie Betts.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, the
that doesn't change
scoring,
my opinion.
The Fantraft, I know it doesn't change your opinion. Just pointing that out. That we're not the weird ones about that. Like thinking Mookie Betts is really good.
No,
he's
again
really good.
I never said that he wasn't really good. Don't say that. I'm not saying he's very good. I said at the top, I think he's very good. I just don't think he's number 2 player in fantasy good. That's all.
Okay, so
right now he's number 16.
Just to clarify, and to just drop this, like, here's why I think he's going to be the second highest player in fantasy. Yes, you are absolutely correct that he is going to regress. There's no doubt about that. He's got a 353 BABIP right now. He's rocking an ISO that's in the 300 range. That's not sustainable. That's not going to he's not going to continue to do that. However, even if his BABIP reduces, like, let's say it gets down to 300 in the 300 area, maybe a little above that, I still think he's going to hit above 300 in average, and I still expect his OBP to be close to 400. And he's not going to hit 20 more home runs, but he's going to hit at least 10. And I bet he gets close to 20 in steals, which makes him a 30-30 outfielder and potentially 120 runs scored with 80 RBI. I don't think many players, I think Mike Trout will beat that and no one else.
Not Jose Ramirez?
That's another close one.
Yeah, so it's like, if there's a question that there could be two guys, that's my whole point. That's my entire point in this bet.
Point, you're arguing this, that Mookie Betts is the third best player in Dynasty?
No, Keaton, come on, you know what I mean. I'm saying that if there's a chance that there are other guys who could outproduce him, then that's worth exploiting that market inefficiency.
Okay, but we don't play in the vacuum of the next 2 months. We're playing dynasty baseball, so as a dynasty asset, you would rather take a chance on other guys that haven't proven themselves as much as Mookie Betts over Mookie Betts.
Well, now you're adding qualifiers to guys who have proven themselves. Like, we can go down. Like, I wouldn't trade him for unproven assets. I wouldn't trade him for just prospects. I'm talking about guys like Chris Sale or Luis Severino or a number of other guys, plus another established stud for Mookie Betts. I'm not talking about trading him for just a bunch of lotto tickets.
I don't understand this philosophy at all.
I'm sorry, Keith. I don't understand. You don't understand the philosophy of
trading talent away from your team? I do not.
For other talent? Trading talent for other talent. Trading talent for more talent.
That's not as good as the talent you have? No, I don't understand that.
You think a stud pitcher and a top 20 outfielder, you don't see how an ace pitcher and a top 20 hitter can improve your team more than a top 5 hitter?
No.
I don't know what to say to that. I don't you know there's more than one set of categories for fantasy baseball, right? You have to have hitting and pitching, for example. Okay. All right.
Well, this is made for great radio podcast.
Yeah, this is great. This is super fun. Energy is fantastic. Let's jump into the minor league call-ups, demotions, other goings-on. Fernando Tatis Jr., shortstop extraordinaire, injured with exploded thumb. Going to have surgery Thursday, and his 2018 season is over. Guys, you agree with me that this does not affect his long-term fantasy value, right?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. No, but
generally injuries, I think we've talked about this before, but generally injuries of prospects don't move the needle too much for me, unless it's like pitchers in a shoulder injury, right?
It does move the needle for me. I think a great example I think a great example is Lewis Brinson. You know, if it you know, a player needs to be injury, you know, get the tag injury prone in order for this to really apply. But I do think your development can get messed up if you're constantly not on the field. That being said, you know, Lindor's thumb doesn't worry me. His strikeout rate, though, does worry me. Because
So generally speaking, his strikeout rate, you had an issue with him to begin with.
Yeah. I think he's a bit overvalued, to be honest. You know, I see he's a number two prospect for a lot of people, or three, and I don't know that I agree with that. I like that he improved his walk rate this year substantially, but it's still not at a level where it's going to transfer well to the majors, most likely. And his K rate scares me. Defense will keep him on the field, so he's definitely going to be a shortstop in the major leagues and hit for power. But I don't know that he's, quite as good as everybody thinks.
Okay. All right, quick aside, apparently he should be back up to play winter ball, and he'll be ready to begin playing again in 6 to 8 weeks. So when I said he was done, that was not quite accurate. So, and Garrett Hampson, second baseman for the Rockies, is getting the call. He's going to be replacing DJ LeMahieu. Patrick, you thought that Hampson was an interesting name. Why don't you tell me a little bit why I should care about Garrett Hampson?
Well, he's a Rocky. He's a young Rocky, so we should automatically be a little bit interested, right? The thing that I like about him is that since he's in Coors, he's going to get a BABIP bump. And that's good for him as a player that has shown patience and control of the strike zone. As far as he's never K'd above 20% in the minor leagues. He's not a power guy by any means, but I like the combination of speed and BABIP increase in Colorado. And if he's going to be getting playing time, sign me up. I think he's interesting.
Keaton, what do you think? You interested in Hampson as well?
Not a ton.
Okay.
Piques my curiosity just because he has the Coors effect, but that's kind of it.
Yeah, I think I'm with Keaton on this one. All right. So that's it for interesting name call-ups. Let's jump to the top pod spec. This one's going to be a little anticlimactic because we already know who won and we agreed to stick with them despite redoing the podcast. So I'll jump in. My guy is Freddy Peralta, starting pitcher of the Milwaukee Brewers. Number 212 on Jesse's top 240. You may remember him from coming up earlier this year and kicking ass. He is back down and dominating the Pacific Coast League right now. Sub 3 ERA down there. I think it's only a matter of time before the Brewers call him back up. And I think he's a worthwhile grab. In every league I've checked in, he's already owned, but I would be interested in trying to acquire him. So that's my guy. Keaton, who's your guy?
All right, my guy will shock you because I picked another international signee. So my dude is Micker Adolfo, age 21, playing the White Sox system in high A, number 213 on Jesse's top 240. He's the stereotypical Patrick mold for a baseball player, if only he played first base instead of outfield. So his K rate over the past three seasons has been hovering around 30%. He's improved his walk rate to 9.9% this season from 5.3% last season. Last season, his ISO was 189. This season, it's 183. His BABIPs have been consistently in the 360 plus range with double digit power, 16 dingers last season, 11 so far this year. So his mechanics, he has a really short leg kick. His hands are incredibly quick to the ball, and that's kind of what drew me in watching his batting practice videos. His hands really stand out and just how quickly the bat goes through the zone, and his barrel control of getting the bat to the ball is pretty impressive when he actually makes contact. So his approach can get a little wild, but that's actually where I think he's made some pretty tremendous strides from his developmental league to all through every level of A-ball. He his first season, his K rate was 42.9, which is tremendously high. However, this season, it's down to 27.2. So he's made some real, real strides in cutting down on his strikeout rate. And as I noted before, he's increased his walk rate. So his approach at the plate is getting better and better the more he plays stateside. So he's a guy that I would look to add now and then just continue to monitor as he gets to the upper levels of the minors, that the strides that he's been making continue to go and move in the positive direction. So he's a guy that I like a lot.
Now, Keaton, that was a great name, a very interesting guy. From what I recall, he just barely missed out on the pod spec last week, but that honor ultimately went to Patrick's guy. Patrick, who did you bring us?
Me? Little old me? I brought preseason favorite.
Build up, lovely build up.
The preseason favorite here of our podcast, at least for me, Nolan Jones. 20 years old, third baseman for Cleveland, and I believe he is in high A right now, looking at an estimated arrival of 2020 probably. Currently 223 on Jesse's last updated list. And yeah, I just like what he's doing in the minors. You've got a walk rate that's near 15%, which I like. It shows me that he's ready to graduate to the next level. K rate is a bit high at about 25%, so that's too high, honestly, but he can get away with it if he's walking and double digits like that. And the ISO is at 166 with 12 bombs this year, so that power he's had in the lower levels has now sort of bloomed into over the fence power. That's what we like to see. He's got fantastic distribution around the field, and he's almost a year and a half younger than his peers. So very good, very good performance at his level, and he's younger. And so that's enough for me to buy him wherever I can. I'm in.
As we all were. Yeah, that's a good name, Patrick. And he was the pod spec of last week. So good job there, buddy.
Did you talk about Freddy Peralta?
Yeah. I just jumped on him right at the beginning, real quick, in and out, because I feel like Freddy Peralta is a name that everyone knows already. So I was kind of cheating a little bit on it.
I voted for Freddy Peralta last time, but I'd like to change my vote to.
Oh, you bitch!
I'd like to change it to Micker Adolfo.
Nitpicking
his
turd, and I'm gonna vote for Micker. No. I won't give Keaton the satisfaction.
I just I was nitpicking his walk rate the last time we talked, Keaton kind of called me out on that, and he's right. The more I look at his numbers and his there's a great batting practice video of his beautiful swing. I'm in. I still like Peralta though. I mean, these are both
cool guys.
Put it on the fridge.
We're gonna put it on the fridge where everyone can see it.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
So, Ian's dude was Peralta, and he's right. It probably is a name that a lot of people know. But in his defense, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Everybody knows her name. And the guy I also wanted to mention last podcast, Wander Samuel Franco, 17-year-old in the Rays system, hit for the cycle, crushing rookie ball. He's currently sitting at a 168 WRC plus, trying to resurrect the Wander Where Art Thou segment. So we'll see how that goes as Wander Franco progresses through the race system.
He's absolutely amazing and needs to be bought everywhere.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
And speaking, while we're in the Rays corner, Jake Bowers has outfield eligibility now too. So additional value from Rake Bowers. Anyway, let's jump into the fantasy league. We're continuing our in-or-out series, going over second baseman this time. If you are competing, we've each got a guy to buy low or a guy that we think is worth targeting, either buying low or paying full price for. And if you're rebuilding, there we've also got a guy to target and help with your rebuild. So my second baseman for contenders is Jed Lowrie. I mean, he's been killing it this year, obviously. His peripherals are all kind of in line with his career stuff. Basically, I think everyone's expecting Jed Lowrie's production to fall off a cliff this season, and I think it's going to, if it is going to decline, it's going to be a steady enough decline that you're still going to get valuable production from him for this season. And because of his age and everyone expecting him to fall off, he can probably be gotten at a greater value than a lot of other guys who are producing at similar levels.
I don't expect Jed Lowrie, his stats to fall off a cliff. I expect him to fall off a cliff. The dude has had the hardest time staying healthy in his career.
That's a fair concern. That's a fair concern. You do have to stomach injury history, but like how much do you really think you have to pay to try and get Jed Lowrie? You know, it's much more value based, return on investment thinking than really thinking that this is the new Jed Lowrie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he hit .339 the first month, plus the last week of March or whatever. And then he hit .225 in May, .276 in June, and .186 in July. He's pretty much already regressed.
He was hurt for, I think he was hurt for part of that, though. I think he went on the DL for a bit, so some of that might be a little short on sample size. But
there you go. Which part?
Well, I don't know because I don't have it in front of me. But I'm just saying he was hurt, and so like if he if he was hurt going into a month and coming out of a month, then you know that might have impacted his batting average. But I'm not a Jed Lowrie believer. I mean, certainly not the power.
Yeah, I'm barely a Jed Lowrie believer. I was just thinking he's a good investment. A worthwhile investment, I should say. All right. Adam, stop typing in all caps at us. I don't care if you're shouting at us via text. All right? We are going at the pace we are going at. Don't you shout at us.
If the president can do it, I can do it. All right?
No, absolutely not. I refuse. I refuse to allow that level. That's not happening. But yes, we should move on. Patrick, I'm going to let you go next. Who you got? Who's your guy? Tell us all about
your guy. Max Muncy, who should be, if he doesn't have second base eligibility in your league yet, I believe he will soon, because the Dodgers are planning on playing him there on a regular basis. And he certainly can't play third, at least from what I saw the other night. He looked awful. He has second base eligibility in some leagues already, and if he doesn't, I think he will soon. He is legit. He's essentially like having a patient power hitter first baseman that, you know, the profile I love so much, but he plays second base. Hits the ball extremely hard, 91 miles per hour, launch angle of 17. He has an expected batting average that's higher than his current batting average, which lines up with a hard hit rate that's close to 50%. Barreling close to 20%, ground ball rate that is below 40, which I love to see, and very patient, almost, it's 4.27 pitches per plate appearance, and pitches per plate appearance is one of my favorite stats. You can really start to see what kind of at bats players are having, and when I see such a high number and then see a walk rate that's quite high, it sort of confirms the walk rate and says that it's probably not going to regress. So I think Muncy is an absolute beast and is worth acquiring if you're a contender.
You love Max Muncy.
He sure does.
I really do. I love him so much. I don't love the way he looks. I love his numbers.
Wow. Shots on Max Muncy, man. What the hell?
Have you seen him? He looks like a truck driver.
Whoa.
He's not
an dude. What's wrong with that?
He is not an attractive man. Listen, truck drivers, no offense to you. I'm talking about the ugly
ones.
If you're listening to us, you're obviously a handsome truck driver, but the ugly truck drivers, that's what he looks like.
Max Muncy has a distinct leprechaun vibe to him.
We're going to have a slight pivot from our usual game, and we're going to go with Max Muncy looks like he does what in his spare time.
Ooh, okay. Patrick's already called his shot with mid-range hauling.
I actually have a better one. Mechanic that wears overalls and drinks a Budweiser, and he's like covered up in grease and stuff.
Are we talking about Max Muncy with a beard or Max Muncy without a beard? That is an important distinction.
The current Max Muncy. He's got a little bit
going here. Okay. All right. Keaton, what do you think he does?
I'm looking at his headshot from OKC, and he looks like a guy who goes to every Comic-Con in the same True Blood vampire cosplay.
Oh, those teeth are a little pointy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if it's the same OKC shot that I'm looking at, he's also staring directly into your soul.
Yeah, so that's the one. Right? That's dead on for that.
Yeah. He looks like he stops you in the street, asks if he can have 5 minutes of your time. You say yes. He says thank you and walks away.
His name also conjures up like Adam's Family or Frankenstein kind of thing. Max Muncy.
Are you thinking of the Munsters?
He sure is.
I am.
He sure is thinking of the Munsters. Okay, so Comic-Con attendee, mechanic.
Can I get in on this?
Yes, Adam, please.
Max Muncy looks like a former high school quarterback who is now the quarterback's coach for that high school.
Ooh.
That's a really good one.
That's a strong one. Yeah, that is good. Damn.
I've got one more. He looks like Leatherface.
Dude.
he looks like he's straight out of
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's
wow, man. For a guy you purport to love so much, you were throwing some serious shade on Max Muncy.
I love his numbers, but he is an ugly man.
Max Muncy looks like he installs security systems
door to door. That's a good one, too.
He's the technician who comes out. Yeah.
Max Muncy looks like the guy that goes to have sushi and brags about how good he is with his chopsticks and tries to teach everybody else how to use chopsticks.
Max Muncy takes his girlfriend out to the gas station restaurant.
No. No. You know what? Max Muncy takes his lady out to Chili's. Because they got some great top shelf margs, and you know what? They have a darn fun time. I'm with it, and I'm with him.
Max Muncy looks like one of the Berenstain Bears.
Yes. Yep.
No way.
Do you mean Berenstain Bears?
Whatever, lawyer.
I found my outro. On that note, who is your guy?
His teammate, Chris Taylor.
Oh, there's a nice segue. Good job, Keats.
Yeah, we totally planned that one. Yeah, so Chris Taylor he didn't have a bad first half. His average was a little bit lower than it was last year. But here's where I think he's a guy you should go get. His exit velocity is 3 miles per hour faster than it was last season, and that is a smooth 89 miles an hour, which is above league average. His launch angle, way higher, 16.5, which is well above league average. So he's hammering the ball, and he's putting it in the air. He's also barreling a nice 7.9%, which is about 2% above league average. So he's still making a lot of contact. His BABIP is a little bit low. It's a lot lower than it was last year and the season before. So he's been putting the ball in play, and he's been hitting it really hard, and he's just been having a little bit of bad luck. So I think that a lot of that stuff is going to self-correct. And when I was digging into his numbers before, what was kind of unusual was that his whiff rate was higher this season on pitches inside the strike zone than it was last season, which if there is an easy adjustment to make for a major league hitter, it's making contact on balls in the strike zone. So, and Chris Taylor's a good enough hitter where he can make that adjustment and then start spraying the ball all over the field again. And even more weird is his batting average against fastballs is about 50 points lower this season than it was last season. So all that stuff is really easy to correct. So I think it's a small adjustment that he has to make, and one that I think he can make. So he's a guy that I would go out and try and get, because I think he's going to have a pretty good second half.
That is, those are all reasonable points. It's a good name. So let's jump into rebuilding guys to target. My guy is, I'm not happy with this choice, but, well, no, you know what? I am. I'm sticking with Yoan Moncada. I think that he's been crushing it lately, so the window to sort of try and get him below market might have fallen on, might have closed already, but you know, he's slugging, he's slashing 231, 306, 414. He's on the upswing for sure, but yeah, there could be some owners out there who are over him. And so I would at least try and kick the tires on him. I still think he's going to produce closer to his highs than not. So I would still be looking to try and invest in him. And let's see, Keaton, who is your guy to target in a rebuild?
My guy to target in a rebuild, Keston Hiura. So he's one of the best hit tools in the minors. He's already in AA. And you should know about him because he was just drafted last season. But if for some reason you don't, he has a hit tool for days. So he's currently slashing 307, 370, 499 in 2018. And he's added a lot of speed. 11 steals this season after just two last season. He's a guy that can contribute in every single fantasy category. And he's worth whatever price you'd have to pay to get him. And he's a guy that I would want at second base for my rebuild. It was actually really incredibly close between him and Nick Madrigal. I really like both of them. And they're both guys that... the hardest part thing is I just don't know where Madrigal's going to end up playing. He's going to play. And he's going to be quick to the majors. And they both him and Hiura have just ridiculous hit tools. And I like middle infielders who just hit the bejesus out of the ball. So... if I can give you a bonus second, whatever you have to pay to get Madrigal, go get it.
There you go. Two for the price of one. Patrick, who you got?
Yeah. First, I love both the guys that you guys picked. Those are strong options. I haven't been able to buy Moncada anywhere this year. I keep trying.
Is he still being owned by believers?
Yeah, I think his owners are fully invested, so I just can't get him anywhere. I've tried. My rebuilding piece is Bo Bichette. He is second base, shortstop eligible, or listed. That's what he's listed under as in Fangraphs. I think that he's going to end up at second base. He has a fantastic hit tool that distributes the ball all over the field. and makes enough contact that I think that he'll be able to sustain that in the major leagues. He's increased his fly ball percentage from last year, which is something I always like to see. And his double A line looks very much what I'd expect from him in the majors. Could even get a little bit of a pump in power just playing in Rogers Center. So I think in the majors, you're looking at 270, 320, 440 with 15 home runs and 30 steals. That's a player you want on your team. And I think he's worth the price that you'll have to pay to get him.
It's pronounced Rogers Centre.
Sorry, Centre.
I don't know if that's true. And on that note, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. This has been the Dynasty Guru Fantasy Baseball Podcast, Dynasty's Child. I've been your host, Ian Hudson. You can find my hand at the Dynasty Guru in some portion of the articles over there, especially anywhere Berenstein Bears has been replaced with Berenstain Bears. You can find me on Twitter at USF Hudson, but I'm not a very good follow. Keaton, what have you written recently? What do you have coming out soon? And where can people find you?
TPs. A lot of TPs, doing the Toronto TP next, where you'll get to hear all of Patrick's words about Bo Bichette in text form.
So close. What do you have anything on the horizon for after the triple plays are done?
Nice long nap.
Mm.
Hibernation. Very good. With the theme.
Starting next year's.
Yeah, we're getting a jump on them now so we can finish them before opening day. So probably should have started a couple months ago. But, but we'll figure it out. And then you can find me on Twitter at KeatonTDG. And you can also just kind of find me wandering the streets at night under a street lamp and sometimes resting on a bench and taking the bus home and walking my cat on her little red leash out in the park.
And do you really walk your cat?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
She has to get her outdoor time, man.
Keaton, what line of the L could people find you on?
The red.
The red line. Okay, there you go.
That's not there you go, specific. Stalkers. It's pretty
no, it's
long.
Huge. It's you huge. Title
right
of your sex
the
tape.
Middle of the... Well, maybe.
All right, Patrick, where can people find you and what do you have coming out soon?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at the Green Magnus, like the Green Monster, but it's replaced with my last name. I know, I'm pretty clever.
Oh, I just got that. Okay.
And I'm finishing up. Keaton and I are both going to get our TP done soon, triple play. I'm writing up Teoscar Hernandez, hashtag the Teometer, Teominator, sorry. So that will be coming out this week. And I will probably have a prospects piece coming out after that shortly. I'll be doing, after the triple plays are done, I'll be doing some sort of weekly article just because I want to keep myself producing lots and lots of content. So.
Nice. Eventually, we're going to crack this this piece that you have sitting around in there, too. I don't know how we're going to get to it, but we'll figure it out.
I've been playing, toying with the idea of making that a preseason piece for next year, but we can talk about it since
you're... Oh, that would make sense.
Since you're the
editor. Yeah. Content-wise, that would make sense. And it'll give you plenty more time to work it out. Cool. Okay. Very good. And thanks to Adam Lawler for producing the podcast and typing at us angrily while we record. You can find him on Twitter at the Statcast Era. Plugs. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Guru and at Dynasty's Child. Join the Facebook group. Mix it up with us over there. You can email us at dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. And give us a rate and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks to Jackie Jade for our cool logo. Check out her Instagram for more of her stuff, jackie.jpg. And lastly, thanks very much to Caraway for the use of our intro song, Raising the Dead, and our outro song, The Last Song, off of their self-titled EP. Go check them out. We are caraway.bandcamp.com. That's going to do it. Have a good day, and as always, stay goldy. And you're straight-laced.
sinner and all that I've got. Kissing me out in a parking lot. Poisonous venom biting down on my lip. You turn and walk away with a sway of your hip. I'm so close to getting what I need, but you're so intent on making my heart bleed. So put some more Vaseline right onto your teeth. You don't want that smile sticking when you're lying to me.
I guess I'm not working on anything, am I, Ian?
Oh, Christ. If you're not going to chime in, and I have no way of knowing whether you're going to chime in or not, fine, Adam, what are you working on?
I'm working on a little something.
Is it the triple play?
No.
You got a little something?
I'm working on Colin Patrick a little